Relatively few people today may remember the name Jay Gorney, even though he composed the song that became the anthem for the Great Depression, wrote numerous popular tunes of his era, and discovered Shirley Temple. Now, though, Jay Gorney's widow has written a memoir as a tribute to her late husband. She gave it the title of his most famous work, Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? Iris Mann reports.
This is a story that needs to be told, says singer, pianist, and music archivist Michael Feinstein. He was first introduced to Jay Gorney's music by Ira Gershwin, but learned a lot more from this biography.
I discovered that he worked on Broadway in the 1920s, and then he had an extensive career in Hollywood, and he wrote for a lot of films, sometimes B musicals. I think about an obscure song he wrote called Ah, But Is It Love?
Ah, but is it love? This fatal fascination is such a sweet sensation. But is it love? Really love?
And that is not the work of a guy who was a hack working in the studio system. If he had a particular idea for a song, he wouldn't be limited by 32 bars. He would let the song go where it needed to go. He didn't think in terms of limitation in his music or in his life.
Getting composer Jay Gorney's story told was not easy, says his widow, Sandra.
I had tried to find some well-known authors who wrote about composers, and they all said, oh, we'd love to write about Jay, but he isn't as well known as Irving Berlin and Cole Porter, so we can't get a big advance from a publisher, so they wouldn't touch it. Karen said, well, Mom, you're a writer. You go ahead and write it. I just said, well, I've got to do this before I die, so I did it.
To learn more about her husband's early life, she drew on an interview he taped in 1958 for the Oral History Research Office of Columbia University. Gorney talked about how his family came to this country after fleeing a pogrom in Russia when he was a young boy. He also said he abandoned a career as a lawyer to try his hand at composing. And he described how his most famous work came to be. He and his collaborator, Yip Harburg, were struggling to come up with a title and words for Gorney's plaintive melody.
We wondered what it was that a man would be sad about that he might sing about. We found no answer to it until one, after several hours, we walked out into Central Park, humming the tune, trying to find a title. Yip had some lines, and all of a sudden, a young man, a rather nice-looking young man, nicely dressed, but his coat collar up and his hat pulled down over his eye, turned to us with his face away from us and says, Buddy, can you spare a dime? Yip got it immediately, and we knew it. That's it. And Yip went right home and wrote it in no time.
Brother, Can You Spare a Dime was a very courageous song, says Michael Feinstein, because it was different.
If anybody was writing a song about that era, it was always that keep your chin up, cheer up, things are going to get better. But nobody really addressed what was going on. And suddenly, here was a song that was expressing real emotions, and it was what people were really, really living.
They used to tell me I was building a dream with peace and glory ahead. Why should I be standing in line waiting for bread? Once I built a railroad, made it run, made it race against time. Once I built that railroad, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime?
The sentiments are not those of a man beating his breast and begging for a handout, explained Yip Harburg during a 1970 appearance.
What the complicated socioeconomic treatises could not convey to us, this song crystallized this simple statement. I produce. Why don't I share?
Harburg and Gorney were both progressive political activists. Gorney helped raise money for the farm workers and joined such groups as the Hollywood Anti-Nazi League and the Hollywood Democratic Committee. But his activism made him a target of the House Committee on Un-American Activities, and in 1953 he was summoned to appear before that panel. His wife, Sandra, remembers sitting in the front row as her husband started to sing one of his compositions.
In the course of telling his story of his life, and he said he wrote a song for his father to help him pass the citizenship test, setting to music the First Amendment of the Constitution, where Congress can make no law affecting your freedom to speak, to write, or the press, or religion. And they were so taken aback by that. And the head of the committee knocked his gavel down and he said, "Mr. Gorney, we don't permit people to sing here." And Jay very quietly said, "Oh, yes, you do. Trained pigeons, I call them."
Unlike those trained pigeons, Gorney refused to inform on others. He was ultimately blacklisted. Even the Girl Scouts turned down a song he offered to donate for one of their events. He earned a little money and some satisfaction from teaching. Gorney always said he liked helping young people, something he got a chance to do years earlier in another painful situation. Yip Harburg's son Ernie explains that when he was a teenager, his father had an affair with Jay Gorney's first wife and eventually married her.
There were heavy things going on in the house at that time, and he comforted me. And I would have talks with him. And I can remember him sitting on the couch with his lovely twinkling eyes and his nice little cheeks, I remember, and he smoked a pipe. And he was very gentle and treated me with respect and love.
Nearly 2 years later, Jay Gorney married writer Sandra Carl. She says her husband never recovered from the blacklist, and that's one of the reasons she wanted to write Brother, Can You Spare a Dime?
We had to give her a house in Beverly Hills, and his not getting work, and how depressing that was to him. And this wasn't just our story. It was a whole historical period, and I find that young people know nothing about it, and it disturbs me that they don't even know about the Depression. And this is a history of a country, not just a memoir of two people, but how it fit into what was happening in the world, in our world here in America.
Jay Gorney died on Flag Day, June 14th, 1990, at the age of 93. For NPR News, this is Iris Mann in Los Angeles.
Once I built a railroad, I made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done, brother. Can you spare a dime?